podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Away from the on-pitch goings-on, Manchester United fans are divided to protest or not to protest, to walk out or to sit in, to throw toilet paper or tennis balls, and to sing about a bonfire or not. In this extra episode of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast, I talk to Matt Ford, a Red himself, involved with United We Stand, but also an expert on German football fan culture and fan culture in various places, including at United. Now, Matt, thanks for joining us. English football fans, as we were just saying, is have so often been far too disorganised and far too often, and we've got to look to places like the German Bundesliga, for example, of how to make real change within the game or the club at United. So thanks for joining us. To start off with, a protest at Manchester United, is it the right idea, and is it the right time as well?
Right, well, ultimately I think always a protest is protests are to be encouraged. Protests are a good idea. I think any sort of active involvement from football fans in their clubs away from just that pure 90 minutes should always be welcomed and should always be encouraged. But then comes the second part of your question, which is it really the right time? And you think, yeah, purely from a Manchester United perspective, it's always been the right time ever since 2005. The right time has been every single year since the takeover. But a key part of any protest or active movement at any football club, or indeed in life in general, I think, has to be some sort of end game. What are you trying to achieve with that protest? What is your alternative? What is your plan B? In 2005, the initial, or even going back even earlier, the initial protest in 1999 against the attempted B Sky B takeover, the plan B was simply to prevent that change of the status quo. Similar ambition in 2005, which obviously had a different outcome. Even in 2010, when the Green and Gold campaign really got underway, there was that sort of that prospect of a plan B in the background, with suggestions of a consortium by the name of the Red Knights, a consortium of wealthy Manchester United supporters with contacts in the city who would be able to mount a takeover bid. So there was that plan B and that alternative method that was there in the background. If the aim of the protest is to get rid of the Glazers, what's the alternative ownership structure? There's been little or nothing heard from any sort of Red Knights consortium in years. I wouldn't be the one to ask about the likelihood of that even being in existence anymore. Would you be? Then you look at who would be in a position globally to meet the financial demands that the Glazers would be looking for in the event that they did sell. Now, valuations of Manchester United over recent years have ranged from professional commentators from anything from 2.5 to 3.5 bill. Although I imagine the Glazers themselves would probably, in the case of a sale, would probably value the club even higher. You're probably talking 4 billion or you're getting into figures which you struggle to even comprehend. And then you're getting into the realm of, well, who on the planet can afford that sort of money? And I think you're quite quickly limited to sovereign wealth and nation states. And whether that is something that Manchester United supporters really want, especially in a city like Manchester, in a city with an industrial and a socialist history, I think people should really be questioning, is that really what they want for their football club?
So one of the big issues I've kind of had with the recent talk about protests is, not just is it the right time and is anyone prepared for it, but what is the end goal? And that's basically what you're saying, is United fans looking at other successful protests throughout football and what fans have done to get change to happen. There must be an end goal. And if United fans don't have that, do you think there's any chance of anything being successful over the next few months?
Not really. Not while it's at the moment. Not while it's aimed at anti-Glazer, because the purpose of the purpose of the existence of Manchester United under the Glazer family is to make money and provide dividends for that for that family. And as far as that goal is concerned, Manchester United fulfills that purpose absolutely perfectly and is still doing so, seemingly regardless of success or not. on the pitch. If the aim of the protest is to oust or at least relocate the CEO, Ed Woodward, within the club or move him out of the club, I would see that as having slightly more potential for success. However, only in terms of a relocation to a different role within the club. But even then, it's not something that Manchester United supporters are actually in any position to influence. Ed Woodward has been the Glazers' trusted man ever since he assisted them on the takeover in 2005. Ed Woodward is them. He's their embodiment. He's their personification in Manchester at Old Trafford. So it's very difficult to even split the two. The two are effectively one. There is nobody who can sack Ed Woodward, if that's what people want. There's nobody who can fire Ed Woodward. He is the Glazers. He's their man. They trust him. I can only assume that it would take such a magnitude of a drop off on the pitch that would then have a required effect on the finances for the Glazers to really sort of take note of that, because he is their man.
And if we look at how German football fans protest against things, and you see it even in English news quite a lot, so whether it's VAR, kickoff times on a Monday, a Sunday, or Saturday, whatever it is they're protesting about. And I think I was reading a piece you wrote on DW Sports recently about the influence of Qatar at Bayern Munich as well. So that's perhaps a more similar scenario than VAR or kickoff times for United fans. But who are the people that organise those protests at German football clubs? And is there any equivalent at Manchester United?
Well, when it comes to protests among fans in German football, there's two major key differences that you have to take notice of between German football and English football. And they both involve the extent to which fans are actually able to influence anything at all, and the extent to which they have any sort of agency. First of all, there's the legal situation in the football clubs in Germany, for the most part. Are bound to adhere to the 50+1 ownership rule, which, if anyone's not aware, that's a league regulation in Germany, which covers the top few divisions, whereby any football club, or at least the professional football team within that club, must be owned by 50% by the fans or by the members, plus 1%. Or plus one vote, ensuring that the membership always has, legally speaking and theoretically speaking, majority control over that football club. Any investor can invest any amount of money they want in a German football club, of course, but they'll never have any more than 49% control. So that in turn limits the amount of money that gets invested, because investors say, well, if I'm going to invest X billion in a football club, I want to be able to control where it goes. Now, because those fans have that legal and at least theoretical influence, of course, a lot of that fan power is only theoretical in the sense that when it comes to these AGMs, especially at clubs like Bayern Munich or Borussia Dortmund, that the proportion of members that actually turn up and vote at these events is pretty tiny. But fan involvement and the ability of fans to influence their clubs is certainly theoretically and legally there. And that in turn means that clubs in Germany are more inclined to listen to their supporters, because those supporters have a legal say in the running of that club. The club does belong to them. So that's one reason why clubs where fans do have more say. The second aspect that gives fans in Germany more influence is the sheer level of organisation among the supporters, especially among match-going supporters. And a lot of that is led by ultra groups, which are a common phenomenon all across Germany. There's barely a club in the country which doesn't have some sort of recognised ultra group. I know that the term ultra often conjures up quite a bit of misunderstanding, and even quite a bit of piss taking in England, really. When you mention ultras, it conjures images of, I know, like rampaging Italian ultras with belts, or even the Crystal Palace ultras who get quite a lot of stick, despite the fact that, in my opinion, they do create one of the loudest atmospheres in the Premier League, whether you like it or not. They have a highly organised bunch. And this culture of ultras is, yeah, like I said, is widespread in Germany. It's more than just a bunch of football fans watching their team for 90 minutes on a Saturday. It's the biggest youth subculture in the country. It involves people from all walks of life united by that love for their football club. And like I said, they are highly organised and they are capable to one degree or another, because you know the memberships of ultra groups can range from less than 100 to a few to 500-600 at some of the biggest Bundesliga clubs, and they're capable of organising mass demonstrations, which are hugely effective in PR terms, which are capable of embarrassing their own club, which are capable of embarrassing the FA, which are capable of really conveying. Conveying commonly held messages to the wider world, and you mentioned a few examples before that have taken place in Germany in recent years. There've been protests against VAR, protests against Monday Night Football. The Monday Night Football ones were particularly effective. And particularly successful in that the German Football League did eventually agree to scrap Monday Night Football. As of the 2021-22 season, and that's something which, as you know, isn't the case in England, whether at Manchester United or elsewhere. Obviously, like I said, there's exceptions in Crystal Palace and similar clubs, but that level of organisation simply isn't there. Now, that's not to say that I believe that Manchester United need ultras. I quite explicitly don't think that's the case. I think there's too much about English fan culture, which is also to be protective. The humour, the creativity, the spontaneity, and Manchester United are probably the best example of that. What I would say English fan culture and Manchester United in particular do need is a little bit of organisation behind the scenes. That doesn't mean organisation in the stands. No one wants drums, megaphones, coordinated clapping or any of that. It looks great when Borussia Dortmund do it or when Schalke do it or whatever. Fantastic. And that's one way of doing it, but there's more ways of going about it. But what we do need is some of the organisation behind the scenes, that organisation to bring people together, to act together, to act in a common interest, and in a way that has an effect, to bring people together who can have a real effect in real life. And that brings me on to another difference between active English football fans and active German football fans. And that's that in Germany, this sort of stuff doesn't take place on the internet. Ultra groups and active supporter groups in Germany are not on Twitter. And if they are, it's purely to put out statements. They don't interact. They don't debate on the internet. They do their debating in real life, in meetings between match-going supporters who go to games, who are in a position to change something. Because ultimately, that's where change occurs. Change doesn't occur via debating on the internet. It doesn't occur via hashtags. It occurs when Eintracht Frankfurt throw tennis balls on the pitch. It occurs when Borussia Dortmund boycott a home game in protest at Monday Night Football. It occurs when fans' own team benefit from a VAR decision, they still rage and chant about VAR and demand its abolition. And that is certainly something that I think Manchester United supporters and English fans in general can learn.
Do you think United fans have the ability to lead something in English football where people begin to be more organised, or do you think it's at this time at least it's an unrealistic expectation, because there doesn't seem to be that possibility for someone to step up and sort this out as German fans might do it?
I mean, there might not be an example. There's not a current example of a protest movement working. For example, of a real life protest movement in football, in English football, and involving Manchester United, you have to look back to 2005 and the evidence that real life protest and real life organisation the evidence that that works is in existence every second Saturday in Moston at Broadhurst Park, where FC United are still going strong. They said it wouldn't last, and yet there they still are 15 years later. That's the evidence that it can work. The Green and Gold campaign was making slight progress, at least from a PR point of view, in 2010, until it developed into the fashion accessory that we've probably discussed elsewhere. Nowadays, in 2020, is there an active VLR protest movement? No, I wouldn't say there is. There is, however, evidence that organisation works in the form of the Red Army. Now, the goal of the Red Army, and I'm not going to claim to speak for them, but I don't think they'll disagree with me saying that the goal of the Red Army is to boost the atmosphere within Old Trafford. And they've done that via organisation, via discussions in real life, via engagement and being active in real life, by making decisions offline rather than online, where anyone can throw their 10 penneth in. And they've had success with it. No one can deny that they've had massive success with that. The atmosphere at Old Trafford when the TRA have been in action over the past 1.5, 2 seasons, even at some of the shittest games, has been absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And you ask anyone, lads and girls who have been involved will testify that they look forward to Colchester at home and Stanley at home. I was talking to a lad before before the Partizan game, at Old Trafford, which normally wouldn't be a great attraction, but you said no, he's come from Warrington on a Thursday night because he wouldn't have bothered otherwise, and that's what it's all about. So there's evidence in the TRA that organisation works. Now, that also doesn't mean that the Red Army, in my opinion, should be expected to lead any sort of protest movement. I think there's all sorts of arguments against that, not least of which, like I said, is that it's not their raison d'etre. It's not their point, is it? It's not the reason they're there. But that's the evidence that organisation works. People might not like to hear it, but the Scousers protesting against £77 tickets a couple of years ago, that came from active organisation among fans in real life who organised something in real life. And it had an effect. In a similar example nationwide would be the 20s Plenty campaign and the campaign to cap away tickets. All right, admittedly, it got capped at £30 in the end, not 20, but it's probably a compromise we can all just about live with. But that involved people getting off their asses, getting off Twitter, ditching the hashtags and actually doing something real life and being organised. And I would encourage supporters to do that.
We can hope. There are certainly elements of possibility there when you mention the Red Army, and you've got two very strong fanzines at United as well, and Reddish who's still kicking about on Twitter. There are clearly things.
Reddish was still going, are they? I hadn't noticed recently.
Just on Twitter. Yeah. nice and loud as ever.
Yeah, in your face. Nice and subtle, the lads.
Yeah, always a subtle approach. But there is clearly there are the possibility there for United fans to be the ones who don't want to be the leaders, to be led by certain people. It's whether those people want to do it all over again, because as I saw Barney, who does Red News, saying he did it all in 15 years ago. So
no, I mean, it's also up to young people to do it. It needs young lads and lasses to be getting involved, and that is also one of the successes of the TRA group. I think the average age demographic in there is a lot younger than elsewhere, and that's not meant to be a slight on older time served supporters, but it's a natural state of affairs. I think that as you get slightly older, my own dad, I don't think he could be asked being involved in TIA, but he's been there, done it. And it takes that's what you need to get involved. Another thing you need to do, you don't just need youth and engagement on your side. I think you also need to be a little bit smart about it. I was having a chat with a couple of people regarding some of the chants that have been coming out recently, regarding Ed Woodward and regarding the Glazers and bonfires and all that. Now, obviously, no bonfires are getting built. No one's getting cut up from head to toe. it's a funny football song and nothing more. However, having said that, when you're singing about a group, that's all fine. However, when you start directing that at an individual person, as laughable as you might think it is, it doesn't take much for that one person, in this case Mr. Woodward, to decide that he's taken offence at that.
Yeah.
And there is a precedent for that in Germany recently with several Borussia Dortmund supporters who have found themselves up in court and personally sued after the owner of Hoffenheim took offence to their chants against him. Now, once you get to that situation, which admittedly is relatively extreme, but also not totally impossible, arguments such as "We're Man United, we'll sing what we want," and freedom of speech don't tend to work. So you need to be a bit clever about it. If you're going to protest, be organised, do it in real life, have a plan B, and be smart about it.
Yeah, I'm in the weird situation where I've written for the next United We Stand, I've written 800 words on why those chants have been covered in the wrong way. Not saying that they should be used if United fans are going to have any success in protesting. So I've written a piece saying why the instant condemnation of them is wrong, but I also think, In the same way that if we're going to actually do a protest, distracting from the real point of the message by giving the media and normal people the opportunity to condemn these chants is the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, and there's enough creative people at Manchester United and within the hardcore support. We don't necessarily need to be resorting to reworded chants that we normally sing about Man City. Surely we can do a bit better than that.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many others as well. There's the bonfire and Edward Wood's gonna die, and then once you move on from there, there's Love United, Hey Glazer, Stand Up. There's been at least 6 or 7 in the last few weeks already, so it could be easily got rid of. But I think there's
in terms of raising awareness, it's done a fantastic job, and I think that sort of stuff always to be is like I said at the start, always to be welcomed. But you have to question, what is the end game here? What do we actually want out of this? Do we want the Glazers gone? And if so, who do we want in? I mean, I'm the first person to say I want to see them gone. I've done since 2005. But what's the alternative there? Do we want Saudi owners? Do we want to be in a situation where we've got rumours circulating like at Newcastle? Is that really what we want? Or is there a smarter way in which we can convey a message to people in a position like Ed Woodward that there has to be some sort of tangible, achievable change within the hierarchy, something that's achievable? And that takes just a little bit more brains behind it.
Yeah, and United fans might become the first to sing about or protest about wanting to appoint a director of football, but there is a first time for everything. Thanks very much for your time. For people who are interested in what you've been saying and want to read some of your stuff from the various places you do it, where can we find you on Twitter sharing it all?
On Twitter, I am to be found at Matt_4D. It's a 4 and a D. And my work can be found on DW.com. That's Germany's international broadcaster.
Fantastic.
Network.